looked at the schedule today, you would see that I was listed on there as your speaker. Last night, I was walking home, and my uncle happened to step out of his house, and we talked for a couple hours out in front, and he had mentioned that there was something on his heart that he felt he needed to preach at some point. And so I got home later and spent some time considering today, I felt very impressed that if the Lord has put something on our heart, it's important that we take the time to share it. And I asked him if he would be willing to take on that responsibility this morning, and he agreed to do so. And so I am having discussed with him the things, you know, some of the things we talked about last night have weighed upon my mind over the past 12 hours or so. And so I'm anticipating this message this morning that based on what I heard yesterday, I need. So I'm going to ask that you would give your attention this morning to our Apostle Joel Yates.
Thankful to be here today. I'm the consummate procrastinator. I do this a lot. It was so strange yesterday. Yesterday morning, as I was praying, and when I got up, I had this impression, this sermon that the Lord had put on my heart when I was in Mexico. Am I turned on? Okay. That I needed to get it on the computer, and I was thinking about that. I've got to get this done, and as my day went, all these things went, I thought, you know, why in the world? I mean, I don't have to do it today because I'm not scheduled to preach for some time. And then last night I went to bed and I'm laying there and I was listening to some Christian music and I was getting tired and I got this text and it was after 10 o'clock and Adam said, "You want to preach tomorrow?" And I didn't listen to, I wasn't listening to the Lord. I want to give you a background. I didn't come here today to spare you. I didn't think the Lord spared me. Jay and I had, we began our trip to Yucatan a couple of weeks ago on a Monday. We arrived Monday evening, trying to think of all these things that we were probably going to try to plan to do. And as we got off the plane, our brother that picked us up asked us on our way home or on our way back to drop him off so that we could take the car and go to where we stay. He said, Would you be willing to go and minister to this woman? In our mind, well, absolutely. Yeah, we're willing to go. We're happy to go. And we get there and are on the way there. Jay's asking more questions because he's the Spanish speaker. So Jay always has double duty when we go. And he's asking him, you know, was she sick? Well, not really. But she's bad. What do you mean bad? A spiritual problem. Great spiritual problem. And we arrived to meet this family. This was the family of this brother's son's girlfriend. It's her mom. We meet this family and we're talking to them, trying to figure out what's going on, what are we going to be praying about, what is it that we're going to do. And we came face to face with this family that was sweet, humble. A woman who begging God for help, terrified because every night as she starts to get tired, there's some spirit that just takes her over. Her family's up, they're wore out, they're tired, and this spirit makes her act out in horrible ways and do crazy things. And she feels it coming and she doesn't feel any strength to stop it. Well, we had a word of prayer, and we went to anoint her head, and she immediately began to recoil. Did not like hearing the name of Christ, and we immediately identified there's a powerful spirit here that's attached itself to the life of this woman. And it has a horrible effect on her and on her family, and the fight began. The fight for liberty from bondage. The fight for freedom. And it was not very long before we realized we're in over our head. We're not prepared for this fight. We're not ready. We're not strong enough to deal with this problem today. And we immediately also knew that we needed to begin changing. Our plan completely changed. It didn't start, it never started with us, this trip. The plan was laid in our lap, and we knew what we had to do. We had to begin fasting. And so we started. We started fasting. And, they called us up, could you come back tomorrow night? You know, it's an hour and a half one-way drive for us to go there. Would you come and administer to her again? Yep. Second night, one day of fasting under our belt, we're still not able to do it. And we fought and we fought and we prayed and we labored and, commanded the spirit to leave. Uh-uh. Ain't happening. We're not ready. Had to go home and look at myself really good. Had to find myself. Jay and I found ourselves on our knees. Lord, help us. We can't do it. It's beyond us. It's too much. And started talking to the family. We're going to need your help. You've got to join in. You've got to fast and pray with us. Well, long story short, after 5 days of fasting and trying to humble myself before the Lord, being able to see my failures and my faults and my procrastinations, I woke up at 4 o'clock one morning and I can see everything I've done wrong. And the Lord put this burden on my heart. He gave me a story. He showed me the depth of it. He started showing me us right here in our local. I can see us, our struggle. Not just us. This is the struggle of the Church of Christ today. One of the things that Jay and I discovered in our fasting is a fact. We are not able. We are coming to a battle that we are not able to win without the gifts of the Spirit of God. It's impossible. You are not strong enough. I am not strong enough for what is coming. We are unprepared. And so let's start with that. This was the burden. And so I'd like to pray, pray for me, pray for yourselves. We're going to look at a story today. This is about facing the hard commandments. And none of us are exempt from this story. None of us are exempt from what it means. We have a world of failures that we're all facing. I'm not really wanting to dwell on our past. This is not about what we have been. Only the acknowledgement of it with the acknowledgement of our need. But it's what we are called to be and how we get to it. That's what this is about today. And so I don't want you to think that I'm coming here to accuse you. Coming here to encourage you. Just as the Lord encouraged me. We're going to look today at the story. It's found in 1 Nephi, chapter 1. The whole story is verses 59 to 157. We're not going to read 98 verses today, so rest. It's a type of a struggle for salvation that we're facing today. This story is about, you know, it's a type. It's a type of a spiritual thing that you and I are facing. It's a perfect description of the process of the plan of salvation as it applies to us today. It's not just a story of the past. And you know, I read this story. I've read it hundreds of times. And until I woke up that morning and I was again, you know, struggling in myself over my failures and my weaknesses. And the Lord says, you need to read this and look at it differently. So we're going to look at the aspect, the important aspects in this story. And we're going to apply it to us today. And I hope it will help you find the right direction to travel. We need our bearings today. So a little background. The story of 1 Nephi chapter 1 started in 600 BC. It's recorded there, verses in it's 1 Nephi 1:3. Missing a colon there. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days, and in that same year there came many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city Jerusalem must be destroyed. Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi forth prayed unto the Lord, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. We're missing some verses there. You know, he went and threw himself on his bed and begged the Lord, and he had this experience. The back part of that experience, it says it came to pass, you know, he was given a book, said to read this. Back, and it came to pass as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof, many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I hope you are. There's a number of people that are having prophetic dreams in our church today. We don't always understand them. We don't understand all the elements, but the element I want you to understand is they're always a warning. And a warning that we may and we are not ready for what is coming. Lehi goes on. You know, he began to tell people what he saw and read in the book with that experience. He says, and when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with them. Yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they cast out and stoned and slain. And they also sought his life that they might take it away. But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all them whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even to the power of deliverance. This is the real picture. Power of deliverance is what I want to talk about today. That is what salvation is. It's the deliverance. It came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord, wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. Lehi had lived in Jerusalem his whole life. He had a house full of how many generations worth of things that they had gathered, riches and all these things that a lot of us can probably relate to. If you've lived in your house for 20 years, there's a lot more in it than you started with. It says he only took what was needed. He left everything else behind, but the commandment he was given was because his life was threatened. And the Lord, we find later, was taking him to a promised land. So this is the setup. Wicked city, going to be destroyed. If he stays, he dies. Or some of his family. He's commanded to get out, so that they'll all live, and told he'll be taken to a promised land. This is the story. What about us today? Nothing different. Those guys were being threatened by Babylon. Today we have a spiritual threat. It's called Babylon. A spiritual condition of, you know, of a great city that is wicked and destroys the children of God. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. John's writing this. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. Why? You know, when I read, was kind of looking at this statement, you know, because I was actually looking deeper at the rest of it. But this statement, one somebody mentioned, he said, he cried with a loud voice, a strong voice. Why? Wake up. It's time to wake up. That was the cry to Babylon, to his people. Wake up. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know, having had that experience with this demonic individual that had taken over this poor woman, the last experience that we had with that individual, you know, the first few, it was kind of muted, you know. It acted out. But the last time when we gathered together after several days of fasting and we began to cry to the Lord to deliver this woman, what happened to that woman was this complete, it was like the next level. That spirit inside came out with all the hatred and accusation and filth and garbage and started telling every one of us, you are false, you're doing this, you're doing that, and just complete anger, misery, and hatred. And, you know, this is what the devil is. I told Jay later, I'm so thankful I got to see that because I don't want to live with that forever. I needed a reminder how miserable Satan is and what he does to us as people, brothers and sisters, friends, wonderful, humble people. It's not just when the devil is in us like the demon. Sin does the same thing. It's just muted. Same results. And there it was in our face again, something strong. This world we are in is full of it. It is the cage. It is what we are up against. All the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich in the abundance of her delicacies. Oh yeah, the world promises you everything. It gives you entertainment. It gives you all these things. It gives you freedoms to do whatever you want. It has the wonderful things to eat. It has all the things. It promises you everything. Pleasant. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. You know, just like Lehi was told, you got to get out of this place or you're going to be receiving the judgment. So the call is to us today. It's no different. The same elements are here in our day. This is a commandment to us. And where does he want to take us? To the promised land. Same story, different time, same story. This is to us. You know, the word of God is living. It's not dead words on a page that's just from the past. This is about us. It's about our journey, and we have to take it seriously. Today's story is the story of Christianity. We're going to introduce, you know, it's going to introduce to us people who say they believe in God but give little attention to his word and have no commitment to prayer. We're going to see in these the true nature of unbelief. The reason I'm going to tell you is because this is about a commandment. You know, if you don't believe in God, you're not even going to care about a commandment. This is about people that know. The story in the background is the story of people who grew up hearing about God in the Jewish faith, knowing that God was there. And we're going to see the two stories. This is the story of you or I. One way or the other, we're going to fall on this in our own personal lives and in our church. It's going to affect all of us, no matter what we say. It's also going to introduce to us people who believe in God and give attention to His Word and commit themselves to seeking God in prayer and all the other ways, worship, study. We're going to see in these the true nature and the result of real faith. This is what we're going to see in the story. So let's begin it. Our story begins after they've gone out. Remember, Lehi takes his family 3 days' journey out in the wilderness. And while he's out there, his sons, his older sons, already begin to say, this is ridiculous. Jerusalem's too strong. There's no way Babylon's going to beat them. Besides that, there's good people there. God's not going to do that. And Nephi went out, and he went out to pray because this is a huge thing. I mean, what you think about it, you know, we just packed up our family and moved out into a tent when we had all the things the world had to offer right back there, and we had to make a great effort of faith to even go 3 days away from the city. And now the Lord's telling us he's going to take us thousands of miles. And Nephi goes and he starts asking the Lord in prayer. And this is where the story begins. It came to pass that I, Nephi, returning from speaking with the Lord to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, saying, behold, I've dreamed a dream, in the which the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brethren shall return to Jerusalem. For behold, Laban hath the record of the Jews, and also the genealogy of my forefathers, and they are engraven upon the plates of brass. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brothers should go into the house of Laban and seek the records and bring them down hither into the wilderness. And now behold thy brothers murmur, saying, it is a hard thing which I have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but it is a commandment of the Lord. Therefore go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord. Guess what? The hard commandment. You know, what I love about this, you know, you and I are going to look at some stuff, and I'm going to say some things today, and I am not going to apologize for what God says. You don't have to like me. What murmuring is you're going, you know, people get bothered by the person that's delivering the message. Yeah, this is what happens. Points to ponder, you know. He gave them a hard commandment. Laban and Lemuel said, this is impossible what you're asking us. They knew Laban. They also knew what kind of man he was. They knew he was a strong man. They knew he was a man that had soldiers under him. They knew all these things. He's a relative. And so they began to murmur and complain. This is just as true for you and I today. We're going to look at our own challenges in a moment, but Laman and Lemuel, they immediately began to murmur. What does that mean? To grumble, to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice, to utter sullen discontent with, at, before the thing which is the cause of discontent. This is ridiculous. I don't believe how we could murmur as not a sickness or with, at, or against, before the active agent which produces the evil. You know, when Jesus was telling them things in the book of John, it says the Jews murmured at him, telling them the commandments of his father. But the focus of murmuring is on the messenger. And this is true always. Your ministry, stand up and read the word of God, and it's hard. We don't like it. I don't like it all the time. But then we have this other guy. Nephi, a man of faith, accepted the challenge without complaint. He believed that God had an important purpose for the commandment. his attitude acknowledged his belief that God is wiser than we are. There had to be this acknowledgement. Well, if he told us to do it, there's got to be a reason, because he's smarter than we are. I mean, he's God. He knows what he's doing. And so here's the beginning of these two views for Christians to consider, for you to consider. What are the hard commandments for us? The Sermon on the Mount outlines what many Christians consider the impossible commandments. Matthew chapters 5 to 7, we're going to look at just the basics from 3 Nephi 5 and 6. Let's look at a couple of them. If you are angry with your brother, you are in danger of judgment. Ephesians 4 says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I know that none of us have this problem, but that would be the lie. If this rock hits you, if this is that impossible commandment that you're struggling with, this is a commandment of the Lord. I can't soft pedal it for you. If this is where your struggle is and you're stuck there, it's time to move. It's time to do something about your condition. There's another one that says, don't speak words of contempt which demean and devalue others, like calling them an idiot. You're worthless. This is what happens in our world all the time. Just get on social media. If you live there, you know what I'm talking about. Something that God said, don't you do it. Christians, don't do it. Don't speak evil of your brother. Don't do it. Are you suffering with this struggle? There's another one that says, if you want to get close to God, you remember that someone has something against you, go first to the person and reconcile with them. Then come to God with full purpose of heart, and he will receive you. So, have you started and never been able to finish? I think there's some people here that have been bothered by something. They've been angry for some time. Maybe they don't even want to talk to us. If that's you, beg the Lord to break the power of your anger. If you're the one struggling to step up to the plate and do what is right by reconciling to someone who has something against you and you haven't got it done, get on it. Begin the journey again. Quit putting it off. 3 Nephi 5, 76 and 78. Don't look on a woman to lust after. A commandment to not let the things into your heart or these thoughts. 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee fornication. This is one of the great struggles of our youth today. I know, I was there. You know, one of these struggles that we live in a world that's been pushed, it's been sexualized, it's been thrown, pornography has been pushed at it. And here we are, young people, this is going to be one of your challenges. Young men and young women, how? You know, when you come, I'm so thankful that you're here. I share your burden. I was there. I remember in my life trying to put God in his commandments up there. I knew, you know, I want to keep myself pure for marriage. That is an honorable thing. Why? Because it was important that I honored the person that I would spend my life with. It was a difficult task. I know the burden. I felt it. I came to the place, you know, I've set myself to do it, and I got blindsided by the struggle of trying to keep myself pure for marriage. But God delivered me. I had to repent from my thoughts, but he got it stopped right there. Took me 2 days up in the wilderness of Arizona, because I was struggling with pornography, with these things in my mind that I couldn't get out. I wasn't dating anybody then, but I didn't want to. Well, I still felt that way. And I prayed and I fasted and I said, God, you have to help me. I can't do it. And he did. And it was after that he brought my wife. if you don't make these commandments important, you will suffer. You do. We do. Your families suffer. These are strong. They're tough. They're almost impossible. Know that God doesn't write these because he just wants to make your life hard. He writes it because he wants you to be blessed. How many of you are struggling with loving your enemies? Some person that always mistreats you, says horrible things. Are you able to bless them when they curse you? Do you do good to them? Do you look for an opportunity for those that have despitefully used you to do them a good turn? Are you able to pray for those who are persecuting you? This is the commandment of God to us. How many of you are holding things that you can't forgive somebody for? You're sitting there and it's eating you up. It's destroying you and it's affecting everyone around you. Every sin does. If you got to sin with anger, if you think that the rest of us aren't affected by it or your family, you're kidding yourself. We're all in bondage with you. This is the nature of sin. It affects everyone, especially the innocent. 3 Nephi 6 is judge not. Don't see the faults in others and not your own. Oh, this is a great deal today. I have watched this. I've had to go through my own struggle with it to come to this place to realize I don't want to go down this road. It's not my job to fix you. That's God's job. It's my job to fix me, to put myself before God where he can fix me. I can't help others until I learn how God helps me fix me. Then I'm going to look at you differently because I'm going to realize that you're made like me, full of faults and struggles and troubles. We judge so hard sometimes. Quit looking out. Start looking in until you get it done. Am I asking you about the impossible, the hard commandments? Yep, they're right in front of every last one of us. And I don't think we've been doing very well. I know, because I wasn't. God gave, though, the next step, you know. Nephi goes on. He comes to this beautiful thing. 1 Nephi 1:65, it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. This is the promise that your faith, you know, if you don't believe this, this is where you give up. This is where you fall into unbelief. This is the promise. There is no commandment that he ever gave us that he will not give you the way to accomplish it. Do you believe that? We have a God that says that he works in the realm of the impossible. With you, it's impossible, but not with him. The other promise, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. When you get yourself deep in the counsel of God, seeking his will, he will give you the strength to overcome the temptation itself. This is why the whole story of spiritual warfare is that the most important part of the armor is the shield of faith. By it, you block the fiery temptations. That's the promise. Do you believe it? Are you a person of real faith? So, you know, Nephi sees the commandment. They're impressed that they need to do it. They begin the journey. I, Nephi, and my brethren took our journey in the wilderness with our tents to go up to the land of Jerusalem. Came to pass that when we had come up to the land of Jerusalem, I and my brethren did consult one with another. And we cast lots which of us should go into the house of Laban. And it came to pass that the lot fell upon Laman, the oldest brother. And Laman went into the house of Laban, he talked with him as he sat in the house, and he desired of Laban the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass which contained the genealogy of my father. You know, in this section of the story, they had 3 days' walk. So we don't see all the elements, but they had a three-day walk to Jerusalem. And the whole time, the older brothers are saying, this is hard, this is impossible. And so I'm sure what the conversation was. We got to go do this. How are we going to do it? Hey, guys, how are we going to do this? What's the plan? I'm sure, you know, they had reservations. Can we do it? You know, Nephi says, I think we can do it. I'm not sure we can do it. They had these struggles, they had these fears, but they had to start. And so they made a great effort. It takes us sometimes a great effort to say, you know what, I'm completely failing, but I need to do this. Somewhere you got to get there, and there's going to be all these things going through your mind. You know, what if this, what if I try, it doesn't work, you know, and I'm sure they did this. Well, the first round comes, and this attempt completely falls apart. Why did it fail? Well, let's look at it. Laman goes in, says to Laban, hey, can we have the plates? Behold, it came to pass that Laban was angry, thrust him out of his presence, and he would not that he should have the records. Wherefore he said unto him, behold, thou art a robber, and I will slay thee. But Laman fled out of his presence and told the things which Laban had done unto us. And we began to be exceeding sorrowful, and my brethren were about to return unto my father in the wilderness. Laban here is the type of Satan. He resists anybody who wants to be faithful to the commandments. If you think you can walk right in and deliver yourself by your firm determination from the power that's bound you in whatever sin you're in, without a fight, you've already fooled yourself. It doesn't. Nothing in all these scriptures say that salvation comes easy, folks. I hear people say it in the world, but this story and what we're looking at doesn't come easy. Satan doesn't give up easy. And the other part that I like about is verse 74. You know what? It hurts when we fail. Have you been there? I can't tell you how many times, how many nights I cried out to the Lord, I did it again. Here I am again. Why can't I do this? Why is it so hard, Lord? I can't seem to get this done. And the unbelieving side of the Christians that said this is too hard, they're ready to throw in the towel. I mean, they got a good reason, right? Hey, our life was threatened. God doesn't really expect us to give our life. I mean, if we die, we can't even accomplish the commandment anyway. We got all the excuses of why we can't believe, because it's hard. And I'm going to tell you, this is part of the problem of America today, is we're afraid of hard. But this is the Word of God. It's not easy. Get used to hard. So that they're all humbled. Nephi, they failed. This hurts. None of us like it. But behold, I said unto them, as the Lord liveth, and as we live, we will not go down unto our father in the wilderness until we have accomplished the thing which the Lord hath commanded us. Wherefore, let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, let us go down to the land of our father's inheritance. For behold, he left gold and silver and all manner of riches. And all this he hath done because the commandments of the Lord. For he, knowing that Jerusalem must be destroyed because of the wickedness of the people. So, Nephi, in that moment of humility, in that first heart-wrenching failure, his faith didn't fail, folks. He didn't throw in the towel and say, it's impossible. He immediately had moved to step two, you know. We talked about this. If the first one, you know, what was our backup? We got a backup plan. And they'd probably been talking about the backup plan. We have a lot of riches. This guy will probably want what we have. We may be able to buy this and accomplish the commandment of the Lord. Let's be faithful. Come on, let's do this again. He goes on. He understood, you know, he persuaded his brothers from their unbelief for the moment. For behold, and he goes on, this is why we need to do it. It's wisdom in God that we should obtain these records, that we might preserve unto our children the language of their fathers. Also that we may preserve unto them the words which have been spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets, which have been delivered unto them by the Spirit and power of God since the world began, even down unto this present time. And it came to pass that after this manner of language did I persuade my brethren that they might be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. People of faith find a way to remind one another why what these commandments say are important for us. And hopefully, even in this case, it worked for Laman and Lemuel, who were ready to go home. And we have got to find this for one another. We've got to, when your world gets shattered and you fail, get back up. Remember the why. Why do we need to do this? This is important because why? So they developed a better plan. Came to pass, we went down to the land of our inheritance. We gathered together our gold, our silver, and our precious things. After we gathered these things together, we went up again to the house of Laban. Now they're all together. All four of them. We're all going up together. This is going to work. And it came to pass that we went into Laban and desired of him that he would give us the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, for which we would give him our gold and our silver and our precious things. Hey, we got a lot of wealth here. We'll buy them. And of course, this was a great plan until it came to pass that when Laban saw our property, that was exceeding great, he did lust after it insomuch that he thrust us out and sent his servants to slay us, that he might obtain our property. And it came to pass that we did flee before the servants of Laban, and we were obliged to leave behind our property, and it fell into the hands of Laban. And it came to pass that we fled into the wilderness, and the servants of Laban did overtake us, and we hid ourselves in the cavity of a rock, a cave. The second attempt fails. Why? Because the resistance of Satan when you try to keep the commandment is stronger. It doesn't get less. He doesn't weaken. He is going to force you to a higher place. Your faith has got to rise. Your determination in keeping the in believing the promise has got to arise. Laban here, he didn't just threaten their life. Now he sends his armed servants to kill them. Is this not what happens when you try to overcome sin? The next thing you know, there's more temptations falling your way. Satan will send everything to bog you down so that you are ready to throw in the towel and give up and give in. It's what he always does. Why do we expect less when we fail the first time? Nope, the second attempt fails. And because Satan, he doesn't give up easy. This is a fight. That's why we call it spiritual warfare. And then the unbelief wins. And the blame game starts. Came to pass that Laman was angry with me and also with my father and also with Lemuel, for he hearkened unto the words of Laban. Wherefore Laman and Lemuel did speak many hard words unto us, their younger brothers, and they did smite us even with a rod. So Sam and Nephi get humbled by their brothers who have fallen into complete disbelief at this point. Told you it wasn't possible. This is ridiculous. It's too hard. We should have never done this. I'm sure they called them many horrible things. Besides beating them with a stick, every one of them probably quite humbling. The other part was, had to be this acknowledgement of something else. The gift of salvation requires man's defeat. You know, in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9, says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. He's made us alive with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, Nephi was the perfect example of a solid Christian man or woman. He strived to keep the commandments. He understood why they were important. He believed the promise. But what got him on the second round is the plan was his. You know, we get this. We don't get the fact, I'm going to have to try this, or maybe I should try this. And with all of his best efforts as a good man, he tried it himself. And he had to be defeated. If you think you could do this on your own, you're kidding yourself. It's impossible. This does not come in your strength. It will not be in your works. You will not be able to boast in your strength. At the end of the day, there is only one you will praise. There is only one you will glorify. And it will be Jesus Christ alone and the Father. And it will come through grace because of your faith. It will not come from you. This is the picture of this happening in this story. The process. Here's the process that Nephi and Sam are now in. Wherefore, my beloved brother, not as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out the deliverance with fear and trembling. What is that? Humble yourself. The scripture tells us that God gives grace to the humble. You have to be defeated. You have to know that you can't do it. This is where Jay and I were. We tried three times. Deliver this poor woman from a great and powerful thing. And we found ourselves insufficient by ourselves. For it is God which worketh in you. This is what grace is. Both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. What I love about Nephi is still, he humbled himself again. Acknowledged, I can't do it without you, Lord. And he didn't murmur or complain still. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So the story continues. It came to pass as they smote us with a rod, behold, an angel of the Lord came and stood before them. He spake unto them, saying, why do you smite your younger brother with a rod? Know ye not that the Lord hath chosen him to be a ruler over you, this because of your iniquities? Behold, thou shalt go up to Jerusalem again, and the Lord will deliver Laban into your hands. And after that the angel had spoken unto us, he departed. So what did he tell them they had to do? Did he tell them the plan? Try again. Go up there, believe in the promise. God's going to deliver him into your hand. And after the angel had spoken, he departed. And after the angel had departed, Laman and Lemuel again began to murmur, saying, how is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands? How is it possible to do this? It's impossible. Behold, he's a mighty man, and he can command 50. Yea, he can even slay 50. Then why not us? Unbelief had completely won in those individuals. This can be us. I can see how hard it is. It's not pleasing. It's not pleasurable to deal with. But to a person of faith that really loves God, something else happens. Nephi's faith is renewed because the Lord, by this messenger, visited him. In his case, it was an angel. What does he do? You know, there's times when we fail, and what does the Lord do? It may be in a sermon from his word. It may be in a testimony of somebody who's been in our place and overcame by the power of God, that he encourages us and he renews our faith, like, get back up. Dust yourself off. Let's go. And it came to pass that I spake unto my brother, saying, let us go, my brother, and saying, let us go up again into Jerusalem. Let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, or even his tens of thousands? Therefore, let us go up. Let us be strong like unto Moses. For he truly spake under the waters of the Red Sea, and they divided hither and thither. And our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground, and the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Now, behold, you know that this is true. You also know that an angel has spoken unto you. Wherefore can you doubt? Let us go up. The Lord is able to deliver us, even as our fathers, and to destroy Laban, even as the Egyptians. He makes his case. His faith is renewed. He goes to the witnesses. Hey, this has happened before. We could do this, guys. And when I had spoken these, they were yet wroth and did still continue to murmur. Nevertheless, they did follow me up until we came without the walls of Jerusalem. These two now become just watchers. They just watch what's going on. They are out of the play. And the true work of salvation begins with the work of the Spirit telling us, prompting us. And it was by night. I caused that they should hide themselves without the walls. And after they had hid themselves, I, Nephi, crept into the city and went towards the house of Laban. And I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do. The key to being delivered through the grace of God is to be led. That's what grace is. It is the divine influence of God on the heart. And it's reflection in your life. It's letting God, by the Spirit, lead you to do His will and give up your own. Put your own to death. If you're going to get this done, you've got to follow Him. And so Nephi began the journey right. The Spirit said, go. I'm just going to go in there. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. Hasn't worked before, but God said He would do it. The work of grace through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus says in John 14, 23 to 26, He answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll come, we'll help you, we'll be part of you. He that loveth my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The work of grace is the teaching of the Holy Ghost in you. This is how you're going to do it. Here, I'll help you. Because you love God in your faith, you begin to give in. Doesn't mean the struggle's over. Nevertheless, I went forth and came unto the house of Laban. I beheld a man, and he had fallen to the earth before me, for he was drunken with wine. And when I came to him, I found it was Laban. And it came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban. But I said in my heart, never at any time have I shed the blood of a man. And I shrunk and would not that I might slay him. And the Spirit saith unto me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands, yea, and I also knew that he had sought to take away my own life, yea, and he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, and he had also taken away our property. Here the Lord asked him to do another hard thing. Told him, you're going to have to take this man's life, and he shrunk from the duty. Struggle is still there. But the Lord also began, remember what the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit began to remind him. You already know what happened. He's already tried to take your life. He's already stole your stuff. Nephi, you're going to have to do this. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me again, slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth his righteous purposes. For it is better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. And now when I, Nephi, had heard these words, I remembered the words of the Lord, which he spake unto me in the wilderness, saying, that inasmuch as thy seed shall keep my commandments, they shall prosper in the land of promise. Yea, and I also thought that they could not keep the commandments of the Lord according to the law of Moses, save they should have the law. Again, he understands. The Lord, by the Spirit, is telling him, remember these things. I've told you this commandment. There's a purpose. It's so important that you do this. And this is where we come up against our will. Killing our personal will is the ultimate test of faith. Doing what you didn't want to do. And again, I knew that the Lord had delivered Laban into my hands for this cause, that I might obtain the records according to his commandments. Therefore, I did obey the voice of the Spirit and took Laban by the hair of the head and smote off his head with his own sword. And after I'd smitten off his head with his own sword, I took the garments of Laban and put them on my own body, yea, even every whit, and did gird on his armor about my loins. And after that I had done this, I went forth unto the treasury of Laban. Did Nephi sin in killing Laban? Has God ever asked you to break another commandment, to keep a commandment? No. It's impossible. It wouldn't be God. Nope. Nephi did not break the commandment. Let's look at Exodus 21, 12, and 13. Two commandments here. Okay? Verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. This word in the Hebrew is talking about murder. What's murder? You have a plan. You lie in wait to kill somebody. It's your plan. It's what you're going to do. You got a problem with them. You lie in wait. But the next verse is part of the law of Moses, the law of God called justifiable homicide. But if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. Nephi was put in a very difficult spot. He was not asked to break the another commandment of God to do it. God told him to do it. This was. So it goes to the question, why did Laban have to die? Why? Is there a spiritual parallel to this story? You know, can we allow something to live that's determined to kill us or destroy our families? What if he let him live? He already tried to kill him. Do we think he was going to give up? No. The commandment that's given to us is to help us obtain salvation through Christ. I want you to consider this. Let's think of two of the big ones, you know. People that have a problem with alcohol, they're alcoholics, or they have a drug problem, and God begins to help them. Would it be advisable to take their favorite drink that they struggled with and leave it on the shelf in their house after God had already delivered them? What are you doing by leaving it there? You're waiting for a day of weakness, and that drink will come back to kill you spiritually. To put you in bondage again. You can't have the favorite line of drugs up on the shelf or in your hidden drawer for a weekday. There's something about these problems in life that we've struggled with, and it's killing it completely. Getting it out of your spiritual life. What does this take? This is the parallel. There are things that we have got to be able to completely destroy so that we don't go back. This is what it is for you and I today. What is there in your life that you need to finish off, that you need to let God help you completely destroy? You can't leave these things. When we deal with Satan, folks, it's a duel to the death. You don't leave him any quarter. You don't give him any ability to come back on you there. remember this. It's so important. I struggled with this for the longest time, and the more I thought about it, the more the Lord was talking to me, I could see this picture very plainly. Laban had to die in the story. I know it bothers some of you, but it's the same in our spiritual lives. You've got to kill the things that keep you from doing and keeping the commandments of God. Nephi, by grace, through his faith, accomplished the commandment. So, long story short, Nephi dresses up like Laban, uses his voice, goes and finds the servant, which is named Zoram, says, "Hey, come with me, get the plates of brass and carry him with me to the edge of Jerusalem." And he does. Zoram thinks it's Laban. And then we find that he gets to the edge of Jerusalem and his brothers see him and think, "That's Laban. He must have killed Nephi." And they start to run. And Nephi changes his voice to who he really is. And he immediately grabs Zoram so that he can't get away, because Zoram knows he's been fooled, and now Zoram's afraid. And he says to Zoram, "I had to keep this commandment," and he explains to him why. Now, Zoram was a slave to Laban. What does Laban represent in this story? Satan. Zoram was also enslaved. And with the defeat of Laban, Nephi offers Zoram liberty. "If you come with us, we'll make you free. We'll free you from slavery." You know, I don't know if you've considered this, but all of us that are struggling with some sin, that sin has also captivated others. If you're an angry person, your whole family's bothered by what you do. Can you imagine what happens when God takes it from you? We're freed. Problems in our local, you think that we aren't all touched by it, affected by it? When God liberates you, what does He liberate? All of us. It's true. Everything we have comes with the consequence. But when God gives you the freedom to destroy that thing, others are liberated. Others are able to thrive more, better. We get closer. All these things happen when we are faithful. So they were able to do it. They got the records. "It came to pass when Zoram had made an oath unto us, our fears ceased concerning him. We took the plates of brass and the servant of Laban and departed in the wilderness, walked the 3 days back, and they went to the tent of their father. And it came to pass after we come down into the wilderness unto our father, behold, he was filled with joy, and also my mother Sariah was exceeding glad, for she truly mourned because of us, for she had supposed that we had perished in the wilderness. She had also complained against my father, telling him that he was a visionary man, saying, 'Behold, thou hast led us forth from the land of our inheritance, and my sons are no more, and we perish in the wilderness.' And after this manner of language had my mother complained against my father." You know, parental concerns are always a problem. One of the things that I have noticed as a parent is none of us want to watch our kids suffer. We want their world to be easy. Tell me, how has that worked in the world? All these parents that leave everything for their kids and they completely destroy them because they made it where there was no challenge. Do not disbelieve in God. Have faith. You know, the commandment wasn't Lehi's, it was God's. He's the one that said to the sons, "You got to go do this." Lehi believed. He had faith that God was going to help his children get the job done. The mother was struggling with this. Parents, know that God is faithful. If He asked your kids to do something, you've got to let them do it. They've got to get strong in Him themselves. You're not going to be here with them forever. You won't be able to protect them against everything, but God can. Be strong in allowing them to suffer. The added benefit to obedience. "After this manner of language did my father Lehi comfort my mother Sariah concerning us. while we journeyed in the wilderness up to the land of Jerusalem to obtain the record of the Jews. And when we had returned to the tent of my father, he was explaining, you know, God told me, I knew he would bring him back. We returned to the tent of my father, behold, their joy was full, and my mother was comforted. And she spake, saying, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath commanded my husband to flee in the wilderness. Yea, and I also know of a surety that the Lord hath protected my sons and delivered them out of the hands of Laban and gave them power whereby they could accomplish the thing which the Lord had commanded them. And after this manner of language did she speak, and it came to pass that they did rejoice exceedingly and did offer sacrifice and burnt offerings unto the Lord, and they gave thanks unto the God of Israel. You know, when we are successful, when God finally delivers us through much trial, man, everything comes alive. Our faith ratchets up. Oh, that's right. If this part is true, then the other stuff he told us is true. We can make that journey to the promised land. We can do it because God faithfully did what he told us he would do. This is the benefit of becoming the people and children of God through the trial of grace through faith. So what was the true thing that happened? The result of keeping this commandment, Mosiah 1, 4 through 7. King Benjamin talking to his sons. He also taught them concerning the records which were engraven on the plates of brass, saying, my sons, I would that you should remember that were it not for these plates which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance, even at this present time, not knowing the mysteries of God. For it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read these engravings and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God even down to this present time. And I say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. You know, the commandments of God have a mighty purpose. The other part that Nephi talked about earlier is in those things they knew who they were. They're the children of Israel. When you keep the commandments, what does it say? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When you and I are obedient, we remember who we are. We are the sons and daughters of God. It reminds us we got a mighty God. He can help us to obedience. Obedience is real faith. To be built on the rock of Christ is to obey. That's exactly the words of Jesus. He says, for whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus has made it very clear. We're either on the rock or we're not. If we've come to this day that we think that we can say good things like a Christian, but we don't finish the course, we don't keep the commandments, we don't make it important, we don't allow God through faith, through grace to help us, we're not going to stand. The storms that are coming, folks, the Book of Mormon says it's the devil that sends forth his winds, his shafts in the whirlwind, his hail and his mighty storm that beats on us. You're not going to stand unless you obey. This is the time in which we are. I believe than what God showed me the other day. When he showed me myself, there was this call, get it done. My son, get it done. How can I serve you if I can't figure out how to keep with it until we get it done? How are you serving others? You have a job in this church. Some of you have allowed it. You've allowed these hard things to keep you from finishing the course, and we're all suffering from it. You're making excuses for not keeping the commandments of God and doing what he's called you to do. We'll never survive what's coming if this is our statement of belief. It must be real. It's got to be in you. Do you believe the promise? He's not asking you to do anything. He won't help you do it. Get over these things that keep holding us up, dividing us, conquering us, keeping us away from one another. This is what he's doing. He's been doing it. Know the source. Be strong, brothers and sisters. It's our day. He put you here for this time, not to watch you fail. So look at your failures of the past. Come back to your faith. Awaken. Get up. Come out. Let us be different. We're going to make a commitment. Again, we're going to remember our commitment next Sunday. That you're willing to keep the commandments. Are you? Then start doing something where you're failing. Forgive others. Be kind. Get over your angers, your divisions. There's no time left. He's too strong without the help of God. Come to the grace. Humble yourselves. Ask him to save you from yourself, from this world. This is our task. This was my burden, and I leave it now with you. God help us. God save us. I believe that he can. I believe that he will. If we'll just strive to obey.